The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome back to Community Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host today. I'm John Ryan, actually. I should tell you who I am before I tell you I'm the host. And my co-host is Otto Loos. And
good morning, John.
The beginning of the Christina Lou Show. I think we have another guest coming on, or not yet. Christina?
You should be coming in. I just sent
there
him.
There he
is. I see it. Perfect. Well, we'll do. Good morning, Todd. How you doing?
Great to see you. How are you? Good. Hi, Christina. Hi, Otto.
Hi, how are you doing?
We have with us this morning Senator Todd Kominsky, and Todd is with the 9th District. But I just want to say a few things before we go to Todd, and then we're going to have some conversation about some of the stuff that's going on, is that Todd was a person prior to getting into politics who was very involved in his community. And one of the big things that occurred was after Hurricane Sandy. And he received multiple awards for the work that he stepped up to do and help the neighborhood. After that, Todd was, and Todd can correct me as you go along, but he was an assistant in the U.S. Attorney's Eastern District and took on three major cases. One was Pedro Espada, Jimmy Mang, and Michael Grimm. One was a senator, one was an assembly person, one was a representative. The point was, everything was from an ethics point of view, which I think is so amazing that he went after him and he won. And then he went to the assembly. He was only there for about a year, but that's not the point. Put 16 laws into effect that got passed by the Senate. He was, I believe, was the number one person putting stuff through from a legislative seat. Then Skelos got put out. Todd went over to run for the Senate. I mean, this is just amazing, the speed with which things happened. And he beat Chris McGrath by 500-700 votes. And then when the regular election came along, just blew him out of the water. And now we are so fortunate that he continues as our senator in the 9th district. But in our most recent thing, Todd will be running for the district attorney of Nassau County. And just with the little stuff I'm saying here, and we don't endorse people because we're not into that, but with the stuff that I'm bringing out about Todd right now, I don't know a person more qualified to be pursuing that seat, and when he wins, going to be doing an exemplary job. Good morning, Todd. I hope I did a good job for you.
No, thank you. It's great to be here. Love to talk to you about what we're doing here in the Senate. And what we're doing together to make sure that as Long Islanders, we have the resources we need and a government that looks out for all of us. So I'm glad to be here for the first time on this program. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. One of the things that's going on right now, we're just going to touch on it. We're not going to get too political. We don't. What we try to do is bring information to people. And obviously, you know, up in Albany, things are quite sloppy right now.
That is one way to put it. That is one way to put it.
But I want to talk just briefly about the courage of women. I don't need to knock anybody. I'm not interested in that. But when people are brave, especially in this world today, and they stand up for what's right, I think that's the most courageous thing in the world.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, look, I don't think it's about knocking anyone or not, but I think we have to call it as we see it. I think people need to know that Democrats will call out Democrats and Republicans will call out Republicans because bad conduct is bad conduct. And the governor's conduct in this case is outrageous. It's appalling and it's not fit for anyone in society, let alone the person who's supposed to be leading our state. So I do think the women are courageous. This governor is obviously very tough and powerful. It took a lot to come out in the first instance. And the more you peel the onion back, the worse the allegations get and the facts are. And I really not only want to give the victims credit, but I want to give the attorney general credit. You know, it's a tough thing to work in the same building as someone And, you know, they're actually the same side of the second floor of the executive building and have to, you know, be looking into allegations. I thought her report was thorough. As a former prosecutor myself, you know, you're trained to look at patterns. Is something a one-off or does it paint a compelling picture of behavior? And here the picture was damning. It created a picture of nauseating conduct supported by eyewitnesses, corroborating evidence like text messages, and frankly, supported by many other victims. We're talking about 11 victims. And that is just beyond the pale. So I think Long Islanders are repulsed by what they saw. I think they want change immediately. And I think that's what's going to happen in the near term.
And maybe you could direct this. If the governor decides to do nothing, what would be the next logical stake from, you know, the legislature or whatever is going to be, the assembly, whoever's going to be the next step?
Sure. So the governor what happens next is if the governor does nothing, the ball is in the assembly's court. The assembly can bring impeachment charges or not. It looks like they are moving forward to doing that. They've said to the governor, if you got anything else you want to tell us, any mitigating evidence, you have until August 13th. So when John, you and I are talking now, it's a week from today. If the governor does not submit anything or submits something and the assembly doesn't change their decision, they can bring impeachment charges within a short amount of time after a week from today. I don't know how long this hasn't been done in many, many, many years, but they are certainly entitled to bring it soon. What's important for listeners to know is that unlike Washington, upon a vote of impeachment in Albany, the governor is temporarily removed from office. The governor is not the governor during the trial in front of the Senate. And I think, well, temporarily, if the governor wins the trial, he comes back to being the governor. If he loses the trial, then he's not the governor again. And the lieutenant, so the lieutenant governor, who is the governor during the trial, would remain the governor going forward. So the zero hour, the moment you're waiting for, is right up when the assembly is about to impeach. That's my take on this. If the governor knows with certainty that there's no turning back, the assembly is about to impeach, the question is, does the minute before that he say, okay, it's not worth it, I'm not about to be removed from being governor, have the designation of being impeached, and then fighting this out at a prolonged trial, I may not win anyway. So I think that's what we're waiting for. And that seems to be, you know, within, you know, possibly within August, we may be able to know what the outcome of that is.
Now the process, by the way, I'm a volunteer with Project Independence, which is how I fit into this puzzle here. But the process of impeaching, what I read is that could take like 2 months before it hits and he's no longer there. Is that true? Or, you know, how long would it be before that position has to be filled by somebody else?
So if the assembly impeaches, my understanding is there's a 30-day period between a trial and the impeachment. So there would be time to set a trial up, figure out who the witnesses are. The assembly would have its assembly members be case managers with outside counsel assisting. So, but the minute impeachment is voted on, the governor is no longer the governor, the lieutenant governor takes power. And, you know, the question is the governor resigning? Is he fighting the trial? Is he winning the trial or losing the trial? And all those things, you know, are not in any fortune teller's ability to say right now.
Right. Nobody really knows what's going on up there at this point in time.
I will tell you this, Otto. I do think that in light of the criminal investigations that are now developing in various district attorney offices around the state, I'm not even sure impeachment is at the top of the governor's list of concerns right now.
Okay.
Actually, Todd, from a legal perspective, I'm not an attorney, I have no idea. But if you get impeached, is that then confirming that you're guilty legally and opening up?
It is not. It is not. There are two separate processes, John. One's political. One is, you know, legal through the court of law. Impeachment is only about political power. Do you stay the governor or not? And the district attorney's offices are actually determining whether to arrest the governor and charge him with, you know, sex crimes, you know, a misdemeanor, perhaps an A misdemeanor or a B misdemeanor, sex abuse, forcible touching. There are a number of possible crimes and perhaps other evidence we don't know. So that's what they're going to be looking
at. Okay. The point here, and that's why I'm so happy that Todd agreed to come on. This is very confusing. This is not an ABC and we're done. There's so many different pieces that that are going to come into play here. Bottom line, hoping that the right thing gets done at the end of this, especially to vindicate the women involved. But again, that's not, and the four of us right here, are not judging anybody. We're just listening to what the Attorney General put across, and she really did a remarkable job. Very nice, clean, concise. I mean, this was not, she didn't go after anybody as a vendetta. She just put the facts out there very nicely.
Yeah, I mean, look, I may actually have to be a judge of the impeachment trial, so that's obviously important to have an open mind, but I do think the evidence presented was damning. I don't see a path forward for this governor, but this will play out, you know, in the next few weeks, and we'll all see.
I think the most amazing part of it is, I didn't realize how many hours were going into it from the Attorney General's office, but now that it's done and now that it's put forth, this probably will be wrapped up in 30 days. I don't think this is going to be going on for months and months. That's my guess.
I've urged the assembly. There's nothing much left to do. I don't think they just want to drop everything they did and do something hastily, but they definitely need to do something soon. I think they've seen all they need to see. The Attorney General's report is many pages long, lots of evidence there. I think you just take that, you put it into evidence, and you say, this is it. The governor can launch whatever defense he'd like. As an American, you're always entitled to your day in court. But I just do want to remind folks that his day in court would involve him not being the governor during that day in court. And it would involve, you know, a grueling process, possibly for the victims in this case. So I hope it doesn't come to that. But if it does, we'll be ready as senators to be jurors.
You know, right. If you think about it, this has been going on for multiple years. And this is now like finally hit near the goal line, if you will. And it goes back to the subject of the show. If all the women that were involved with this didn't have the guts to speak out ultimately over years, we wouldn't be where we are right now. If nobody spoke, it'd still be going on. And that's not an easy situation for any woman to be in, I don't think. You know, it's very complicated. There's so many things involved as I see it. All of a sudden, these 11 women, which is what I read, I don't know how many there they've been going through mental gymnastics for the last God knows how long about maybe they couldn't sleep thinking about it. And should they tell their spouse about it if they had spouses? And there's just so many things I can imagine go through a woman's mind when this type of thing is going on. It's got to be awful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a trial would be awful as well to have them cross-examined under that scenario. It happens in courts. It's very difficult to watch, but it's a difficult thing for a victim to endure.
I think it would be terrible, but actually right now we're going to take a break. You're listening to Community Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Senator Todd Kominski.